Across the country, American workers have been doing more with less. They're becoming more productive, and we heard of another gain on the news this week.
The government says an increase in productivity in the third quarter was the biggest for a quarter in 20 years. The Labor Department says productivity was up by 9.4%.
That's the news from Wednesday. We hear a number like that every few months and usually don't give it much thought. But productivity has grown so rapidly in recent years that it might be productive to learn what it says about our changing jobs and our changing lives. We found part of the answer simply by trying to define productivity. The U.S. government measure of productivity is not quite what you might think, as we learned when we spoke to Timothy Taylor. He's an economist and the managing editor of the Journal of Economic Perspectives.
Productivity is the amount of output per hour for the business sector. The total amount that's produced divided by the number of hours worked.
How do you measure somebody's output? Is it the number of cars made, the number of customers serviced?
No, it's not a physical measure of output. If you think of it as total sales, you wouldn't be that far off.
By selling a cafe latte for $3, is a Starbucks worker more productive than the old-time coffee shop employee who sold it for 50 cents?
It's a deep question, but the answer for an economist would be yes. The reason is that what you're really selling is not a cup of coffee, but you're selling a value that's provided to the consumer. If a consumer is willing to pay $3 for something instead of 50 cents, you've provided greater value.
If you're an employer and you fire half of your workers, does that improve the productivity for that company?
If you have half the workers doing the same amount of work, yes, it would improve productivity for that company.
I was looking at a conference recently of healthcare professionals that was going to focus on nursing productivity. How in the world would you measure productivity in the healthcare sector, particularly with something like nursing?
It's difficult to measure productivity in service sectors, but in a way, if once you've said that you're going to measure output in terms of dollars, then everything is relatively straightforward. You measure the productivity of nurses by the total hospital bills that are involved and the total number of hours that go into providing those services.
If fewer nurses take care of more patients, that increases the productivity.
Right, absolutely. Or if, say, they figure out a way to hook up computers and information technology so that they are monitoring patients and keeping track of records in a way that nurses don't need to do those tasks, then perhaps instead of having 10 nurses covering a floor, with many of them doing record keeping and so on, you can have 7 nurses covering the floor and have a couple of them sitting at computers to handle a lot of those routine tasks.
Which would be very good, but what if, conversely, fewer nurses take care of more patients and the service is just worse and more people die? Does that affect the productivity statistic at all?
Productivity and economic output leave out a whole lot of things. And certainly, if the quality deteriorates in a severe way, people will stop going to that hospital or stop going to that doctor's office, and the measured output will decline as well.
Are there winners and losers when productivity goes up as it has been going up?
There are winners and losers with every shift in economic patterns. And one of the amazing things about the U.S. economy is that there's almost an ocean tide of winners coming in and losers going out, people gaining jobs, people losing jobs. The workers who are laid off are clearly worse off. There's no question. On the other side, for our society as a whole, we all benefit in an enormous way because year after year after year, the average person can produce more and more.
Well, here's the question I guess you have to answer in order to be a productive economist. How has the productivity trend changed so much?
Well, I think a lot of it is the economy absorbing the power of information technology. And it wasn't until the mid and late 90s that we really had the internet and fully connective networks.
Timothy Taylor of the Journal of Economic Perspectives says that service industries are finding ways to be more productive. 20 years ago, economists feared that service industries would have trouble doing just that. To find out how they did, we have invited in Michael Shulman. He is the director of research for a company called Changeway Research, which regularly surveys business executives. And, Mr. Shulman, let's start with the biggest service company, the biggest company in the United States, as a matter of fact, and one that's been written about a lot, Walmart.
Walmart triggered what we call a change quake, which is an earthquake within a business, on November 4th. On the 4th, they announced the standards they'll use to embed tiny little microelectronic tags called RFID tags into everything. I mean everything, a box of tissues, a six-pack of Coca-Cola, or a pair of pajamas, and their suppliers will have to start doing this over the next 1 to 5 years. What that does is they will have automatic checkout without scanning. They'll have automatic inventory without people walking the aisles. You'll fill up your cart, you'll stroll out, and a number will appear. And all of a sudden, you have gone through the line 30 seconds, 60 seconds, 5 minutes faster. Now, this will take several years and lots of software and lots of hardware to implement, but the technology exists, and it's only a matter of cost and a matter of time.
Now, this is something they've tried just recently, but this is a company that's been innovative in the productivity field for some time.
Yes, and what they've done, you may walk in and see this well-merchandised discount right in front of you. They know that on a Saturday in the wintertime at that particular store location, because of the way they use their computer software, that is going to get people either to buy or to move left or move right in terms of how they're going to shop in the store. It's a fairly sophisticated process called data mining. It's the result of hundreds of thousands of man years of intellectual property all over the software industry. They've bought the packages and they do the data mining and find out what people want to buy at a specific time for a specific reason.
What are some other companies that are innovating in the area of productivity?
Starbucks is, and I'm going to speak very personally, I have a Starbucks card, and I walk in, I give them the card, and I've loaded it up with $50 on my American Express card. When it goes below 10, it automatically hits my American Express card and recharges. So I never have to pull out my card and tie up 3 to 4 minutes of processing time at the cash register to recharge it. I did it through their website. It's an automatic renewal of my Starbucks card.
And I hate to mention this, but it also causes you never to be thinking about how much you're really spending on coffee.
And that's what we'll be surveying actually in January. We're doing a survey of our network of people, of 4,000 people, to survey them. Are they aware of their costs of buying at Starbucks? And when they become aware, do they change their buying patterns? No one's ever done a survey on it, so we're looking forward to it.
We heard an economist a minute ago say that productivity overall, you know, productivity improvements overall are good things. But are there examples you can think of where an increase in productivity might be seen almost as an insidious thing?
An insidious part, in using that word broadly, is the use of technology can often distance the provider of a service from the consumer of a service. Do you really want to have drugs prescribed over the phone? Is that better?
Do I want to call the company and get a talking machine instead of a human being?
Absolutely. And I think many, many moons ago, I wrote an article over creating a generation of internet introverts. And it was about the whole issue of people who were not particularly social hiding behind their computers. As an economy, it's very enabling technology for people who are shut in and don't want to go to malls or don't want to go shopping or have problems getting to the doctor. But there is a cultural and a socioeconomic aspect of distancing customers from suppliers, from the recipient of a business's goods to the provider of a business's goods, that I don't think we understand completely where it's going, but some parts of it could clearly be bad.
Michael Shulman is the Director of Research for Changeway Research. Mr. Shulman, thanks very much for coming by.
You're very welcome.